From Studio F, high atop Feibusch Media World Domination Headquarters in Rochester, New York, it's the Top of the Tower podcast, Episode 7. Welcome to October. I'm Scott Feibusch. We have a whole bunch of interviews and field trips to share with you this week, so we're not going to do too much right here from the studio. Coming up in this half hour or so, actually about 40 minutes this week, we're going to hear all about the upcoming AES convention in New York. That's just 2 weeks away. We'll talk to David Bialik, who chairs the audio sessions there. And we had a neat visit just a few days ago from the Telos van. Dave Collins came through Rochester, and we got to spend some time with him talking about some of the neat toys that are in there. So we're going to get to all of that on the podcast. A couple of quick headlines before we get started with that, though. First of all, if you read this week's Northeast Radio Watch, you know that it's an exciting time with the TV repack. We are now starting to see stations actually going off the air, turning off their transmitters. It happened in the Providence market over the weekend as the former CW affiliate there, WLWC, Channel 28, RF 22, licensed to New Bedford, Mass., transmitting from Freetown, Mass., they turned off their transmitter on Monday afternoon. The CW has moved over with the intellectual property having been bought by Nexstar. It's now on a subchannel of the Fox affiliate in the market, WNAC. And WLWC became one of these zombie licenses. We've been writing about those. What's left of the WLWC license is now channel sharing with the ION affiliate in Rhode Island, WPXQ, Channel 69, RF 17. And they simply moved one of their ION subchannels, ION Life. That's now officially 28.1, which means it's now entitled to cable and satellite must carry around Rhode Island on what's left of that WLWC license. But there is some even more interesting stuff going on. And again, we wrote about that in the column this week, if you read about it, with WGBH in Boston. You know that their main channel, WGBH Channel 2, which has been on RF 19, it took a very, very large payment out of the spectrum auction to move down to VHF low. It's going to be on RF Channel 5. And we knew that there was a low-power station in Boston, WFXZCD, that was giving up its Channel 24 and pocketing about $80 million. It's channel sharing. We knew this already with WGBH on RF 5. What we didn't know until this week, and what we talked about exclusively in this week's column, and you read about it, I hope, if you're a subscriber, that WFXZ has donated that zombie license to WGBH. So there is now going to be a commercial license occupying part of that RF5 spectrum that will be owned by WGBH. What does a public broadcaster do with a commercial license in hand? It's going to be interesting to find out. There is so much going on there with what they do with their other UHF license, WGBX, which stays on UHF. Presumably, that's where the main WGBH program streams will go. But there's also going to be experimentation going on there, we're sure, with ATSC 3.0. That's going to bring about some changes. So that's going on in an interesting way. Down to the south in the Philadelphia market, the Trinity Broadcasting affiliate there, WGTW Channel 48, they're giving up their RF spectrum on UHF where they've been. They are becoming a zombie license that's going to channel share on WMGM-TV way out on the Jersey Shore down in the Atlantic City market. That means a change of city of license for them. They'll still keep the Philadelphia must carry, but they can't be licensed to Burlington, New Jersey anymore. They're going to be licensed now down in Millville, New Jersey. And so that means that they can't use their existing main studio anymore as their legal main studio to serve Millville. But everybody kind of knows, even if the FCC hasn't actually issued the ruling yet, that that main studio ruling is going away. So they've asked the FCC and been granted a one-year waiver. And hopefully, for them at least, hopefully the main studio waiver will go away. Is doing away with the main studio rule a good thing in general? There's a lot we can be talking about in future episodes of the podcast about that. But in the meantime, they're dealing with that issue. In Connecticut, we have just seen Connecticut Public Broadcasting, WEDW, turn off their RF transmission in Bridgeport. They are now channel sharing on WZME, which has been sort of this forgotten UHF station that's been brokered out, that will now be getting some spectrum sharing money from Connecticut Public TV after they gave up WEDW. So lots of interesting stuff going on there in the TV world. Let's turn to radio. We are going to take a trip into the Telos van coming up right after we remind you that the podcast is brought to you by Feibusch Media, and in particular right now, the Tower Site Calendar. The 2018 calendar is on its way back from the printer as we speak. It's got some beautiful pictures in it this year, all over the country, everywhere from New England all the way out to the West Coast. The cover picture this year is a nice shot of Sutro Tower in San Francisco. Lots more to be seen inside. Historic dates. Makes a great gift for that engineer that you just can't figure out what else to get them. And it is available right now from the Feibusch.com shop, right there at Feibusch.com. While you're there, we hope you remember to check out Tower Site of the Week. We are in Connecticut with Site of the Week right now. Some neat features from some New Haven stations. And then coming up on Friday, we'll be featuring a cluster of stations over in Norwich, Connecticut, that is a really neat small market local radio cluster that you're not going to want to miss. And, of course, the Northeast Radio Watch column now in its 24th year of service to the broadcast industry. If you are not yet a subscriber, we hope you'll join us. There is a whole bunch of news in there, more than we can get into the podcast, more than we can give away for free. It's all there. It's yours for as little as 29 cents a week when you sign up at Feibusch.com/register. Back in a moment.
Well, you can't turn him into a company man. You can't turn him into a whore. And the boys upstairs just don't understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much. And he won't play what they say to play. And he don't want to change.
It's the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm Scott Feibusch. There is no substitute, of course, for making your way to a big broadcast show when it comes to being able to really get your hands on all the latest gear, talk to the people who designed it and built it, find out how it all works, how it can solve problems for you. But not everybody can make it to Las Vegas. Not everybody can make it to the radio show. And so that is why it is always neat when broadcast companies bring their stuff on the road. And my good friend Dave Collins, you might know Dave from his days as D.C. Collins on the air in New England, especially in New Hampshire, and then more recently in Nantucket at WAZK. He's been with Telos for the last few months, and he has got them set up again with their mobile van, taking it all around the East and the Midwest, going to visit SBE chapter meetings and gatherings of engineers, and showing off some of the neat stuff that's inside. Well, he was on his way from a visit in Utica to a visit in Buffalo and stopped by here in Rochester to have lunch and show it off for us. And we had the chance to spend some time inside with him.
Now, let's describe what we are in here. It's a Freightliner van. On the outside, we've got the logos of all the various Telos Alliance companies. And inside, there's a whole three-rack lineup of fun stuff here.
It is the ice cream truck for radio and TV engineers. Basically, the Broadcast Audio Fanatics van is loaded up with one of every one of our processors, the Omnia 11, the Omnia 9, the Omnia 7 FM and AM, also the Omnia 9SG, our brand new product, the Omnia Vault, both the FM and AM versions. We've got the ZipStream R2 here for streaming for processing. We also have a tuner, and we've got a TVC15, which works hand-in-hand with the Voltaire product that Telos Alliance has, which works hand-in-hand with the PPM product.
We'll get to that in a little bit, because I know people have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions about PPM and about how people are using processing with it. But let's start with the Volt, because there's a lot of demand out there for lower-end budget processing, something you could pick up from a dealer in maybe the $3,000 or $3,500 price range, and this is a relatively new entry in this field. How does this differ from, you know, somebody who was using, let's say, an Omnia 1 before this?
It's newer than the Omnia 1. The Omnia 1 is a great product, but it's been out for almost 10 years now. And what the Omnia Volt does, it's got a few horses under the hood from the Omnia 11 with G-Force. So you're going to get a couple more extra components in there. Still a one-rack unit. The list price is $34.95. And what people were telling us, what you described a little bit earlier, is we've got the Omnia 11, we've got the Omnia 9. Great sounding boxes, but yeah, a little bit on the high side as far as the price is concerned. So we have stations in medium markets and also stations with HD2s and HD3s and translators saying, you know, we'd love to buy an 11 or 9, just not in our budget. We need something with a little more oomph than the 1, but something that also is going to keep us on the air and not make us go into the red. And that's where we came out with the Omnia Volt.
And this matters right now. I've been helping in a lot of my consulting business, helping AM stations put FM translators on. One of the things I emphasize is you got to have good processing on there, because in a lot of cases you're overcoming only having 99 watts or 250 watts. What difference does this make to a station in terms of the punch that it can have in a market?
Well, I think if you're putting on a translator, obviously you might be going up against the mainstay or the heritage, the competition. So you want to get that signature sound. You want to get that unique sound that sort of draws the listener away from the big guy in the market, sort of a different alternative. You're not expecting to go head-to-head with them simply because you're limited as far as how far your signal can go, but you want it to be the best sounding sound for your station in that market.
People are listening in all kinds of different ways now. We were talking about this a little over lunch before we stepped out here into the van. Not everybody necessarily is listening on a boombox or even on a car stereo. Maybe you're listening on earbuds. How do you process? What's the philosophy now with trying to make processing serve all of these different listening modes?
Well, there's so many different variables, as you pointed out, Scott, and I'm not going to give my age, but I sit down in a car and I still go through the 1 through 5 FM presets and 1 or 2 AM presets for sports. I have friends that are my age or younger that as soon as they jump in my car, they want to know where the auxiliary jack is or what the code is for their Bluetooth. So that's something that radio stations have to overcome, because even terrestrial stations are not necessarily being listened to over their FM or AM signal. They're being listened to through their app or through the TuneIn app. So you've got to sort of compensate for, it's not always going to be the FM or AM dial that they're punching up. They're punching up your radio station through a streaming service. And that's where some of our products, such as the Zip Streams, come in, where we can offer Omnia 9 processing through streaming as well.
In that case, running just on a PC card?
Yeah. And in our box right here. And we have the software, the Omnia SST software processing, which doesn't even involve a box anymore. It's strictly through a computer, all software based.
Best practice is still to run separate processing on a stream versus what you have on air, right?
Absolutely, because you never know what the bit rate's going to be going out or coming back in, and the variables of cell phone reception, laptop reception, and what device you're listening to. Are you listening through your speakers at home? You know, your big, giant ones like I still have? Or are you listening through the little earbuds that maybe you bought replacements $20 at a certain store? And having that sound as crisp and as clean as it can through all different types of listening devices.
How do you make that happen? What's some of the secret sauce that goes into making it work for that?
I would have to defer that to Cornelius Gould or Leif Claesson. But adaptive streaming, that's going to be a part of it. And also what the chain is. You know, are you starting out with a clipper? Are you starting out with a compeller? Are you starting out with pre-processing? Everybody's got their own secret sauce. And really, processing is subjective. What we try to do at Omnia is put out the best possible sound for all, or to fit your needs. And what it's sort of gearing towards, too, unfortunately, is what's going to encode the best? What's going to get the best ratings? Because that means money, and that means you can buy more equipment, which means better things for us here at Omnia. So it comes full circle.
We will get to the PPM piece of it. I want to talk about the high-end boxes, too. The 11 that I'm looking at right over your shoulder here, this has the new G-Force. It's got the blue screen on it. Mm-hmm. Talk a little about some of what Cornelius Gould has been working up there and what makes this better than standard 11.
The Omnia 11 with G-Force, Cornelius Gould really looked back at it and said, we need something on the lower end. We need a feature called Solar Plexus. So once you get to that base effects menu, after you pick a preset that you like and you're like, hey, I need a little bit more oomph underneath it. You go to the bass effects, you've got Solar Plexus, you've got the fat bass, you've got the deep bass, you've got warm bass. Some of those components are even found in the Omnia Volt, which is the, you know, the smaller the one rack unit and a little bit more affordable for some stations. Also, it can be used for FM, HD, and it really gives you that old 80s to early 90s sound of a top 40 station that you knew you were listening to when you're in your hometown and you heard the Madonna or the Bon Jovi song. You know, that's my top 40 station. That's Kiss FM. That's Hot Hits. Boom. I know I got it.
And there was that time, you know, you knew if you were listening to PLJ in the 80s yes. and early 90s.
Or Z100 in New York, or for me, it was Hot Hits WCAU in Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely. PXY here in Rochester was another good example of that. Then for the tweakers among us, the Omnia 9 that Leif Claesson has his fingers all over. This is kind of the box if you want to go in under the hood and tweak everything, right?
Yeah, and Leif, though, the easiest way I can describe it is Leif Claesson does not like distortion whatsoever. So you've got the undo feature, the declipper feature as well, and this box, is it's designed for any station, but we sort of talk to the stations that have a jazz format or a classical format or maybe even some soft AAA or some NPR and say, hey, listen, if you're looking for that clean, distinct, crisp sound, that's where you can go with the Omni 11 as well.
We're in this interesting...
The Omni 9, Leif.
9, right. We're in this interesting place, too, now, where we're in a position with DSP and not just with you guys, but also with Orban now, with 8700i and some of the stuff Mike Pappas is doing, with being able to really seriously undo a lot of what mastering engineers are doing, right?
Well, you look at it, Scott, and if you're I worked at a AAA station, so the music that we were playing started out with the Beatles or the Rolling Stones in mono and went all the way up to today's songs like Imagine Dragons, which are notoriously known for just sort of flatboxing their sound. There's no real ups or downs. It's just one big wave file that you're getting. So the undo feature is something that we look at as trying to clean up that audio before it gets to your receiver. That distortion sound, that where it sounds like you're popping a balloon. We're trying to fix that before you get to hear it.
I hear that too, like chain smokers. I mean, a lot of what they do is just layering pure distortion on distortion.
Yeah, and for some people, that's the norm because it's happened for so long over the past so many years. And I guess we're trying to sort of educate the listener and say, that's not really how it's supposed to sound through your radio. You know, people go out and they spend hundreds of dollars on their car stereo system, and it still sounds eh. You know, you get in there and say, okay, but what am I? You want it to rattle the handlebars or the locks? Okay, it's doing that. But what's it doing to make me feel like I'm listening to a pure song?
All right, so now we got to go there because we've talked about getting away from distortion. And you, of course, are also the company that puts out the Voltaire and now the TVC-15. So let's talk about, from the Telos point of view, how should people be using these boxes?
Starting with the Voltaire? The Nielsen rating system came out with their the PPM system, which is basically a set of tones that when, instead of filling out a diary, as you used to in the old days, on what TV show you're watching, what station you're watching, what station you're listening to, now what's happening is they are distributing these PPMs, portable people meters, which look like little old school pagers that doctors used to wear. And what those PPMs are designed to do is detect codes, sub-audible tones, in a certain radio frequency or signal to say, okay, Scott is now listening to Q106. Dave is now listening to Hot 97, and it detects that by these little pagers, PPMs, that you wear on the side in your pocket or put them in your car. What Telos is doing with the Voltaire is enhancing those tones, so there's a better chance that meter is going to grab them, read them, decode them, give that radio station credit for however long Scott or Dave was listening to it. It's still a flawed system, and we can get to that a little bit. As far as Voltaire goes, there's the give and take. You can crank it up so that everybody can hear your tones and never unhear them again, or you can set it at a certain rate to where it's going to enhance those tones and still going to pick up on your portable people meter, but you won't necessarily be able to hear them. What the TVC-15, the other product, is geared to do is either use it one way as a monitor so you can see how you are encoding, or what you can also do is run it in conjunction with the Voltaire so that way your levels aren't always jacked up at 18 or 20, sort of a set it and forget it. It's riding it like a wave. So when those tones need enhancement, yeah, it's going to bump it up. But when they don't need enhancement, which is a majority of the time, you're not going to be subjected to that sound.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Scott's smiling because he knows what I listen for and what he's heard as well.
And I suspect a lot of the listeners of the podcast have heard it too, but every time I think that they have... You know, you go into some of these message boards, or you'll get emails from people who say, hey, you know, I just noticed everything I'm listening to now sounds kind of metallic. What's going on? Is there something wrong with my radio? And these are people in the business a lot of the times. You know, and for me, I've been following this back to when Barry Blesser and Jeff Stedman were just getting started investigating this stuff at 25.7 before the Voltaire even came out. So I've been following it. I've been knowing what I've been listening to all this time. A lot of people don't, and you go to certain major markets, and there are stations that we won't name, but everybody knows what they are, you know, that have it cranked up maybe to 20 or 22. And once you know what it is, you hear it. So this, with the TVC-15, this is at least in theory an opportunity to try to reduce some of that, right?
Correct. And also give you an opportunity as a radio station, if you have four or five stations in your cluster, to scan the dial and see how you're doing on all five of your stations. You know, this is enhancing the frequencies. So not just the tones, but sometimes those voices are caught up in the same frequency as the tones, and it's enhancing that with the Voltaire. So that's where it gets into that little gray area. And what we're trying to do here at the Telus Alliance with that Voltaire product and the TVC-15 is control or have the radio stations control as much as possible. This is what I mentioned a few moments ago. You can't control as a GM whether the person with the PPM is listening to your station in the car, gets out, walks into a diner, spends 45 minutes during morning drive time listening to a classic hit station that's playing over the radio in the diner. Meanwhile, the guy is one of your rock listeners, but the classic hit station's getting credit from the 7:15 to 8 o'clock a.m. hour because that's where he was sitting. So we're trying to give as much control to the radio stations on their end, but there's still so many variables. A loud car, a loud environment like we're in now where the tones may not be audible to the PPM device. So it's still, there's a lot of work to be done on both sides.
And let's be honest, everybody wants to see what everybody else in the market is up to too, right?
No kidding. That's, you know, a couple of stops I've made with this TVC-15 in the van to some bigger cities. You know, the engineers were, they love the Axia Fusion console that we have sitting here. They love the Omni 11, the new OmniVolt. But that TVC-15, people were staring at it and going, okay, tell me again, am I green? What's going on here?
Yeah. It's a fascinating thing to try to make sense of all of this and see where it's going to, because it doesn't look like PPM is really in any hurry to move out beyond those top 50 or so markets.
Yeah, and that's sort of been the holdup, I think, for Nielsen. I'm not on the inside, but they've got to fix it first, I think, before they roll it out to rural America or places that have more interference or stations, you know, 100,000-watt signal that's trying to cover a 60-mile area. It's got to be perfected in the big cities first before you can roll it out to the smaller ones.
Does the TVC-15 in theory give you the opportunity for an engineer who knows that it's getting cranked too high because the management wants you to go back and say, hey, we can dial this back a little, it's not going to kill us?
Yes, and the TVC-15 can do that in conjunction with the Voltaire to back down those tones automatically as the audio comes through.
Let us hope.
I hope so, yes. You can find out. There's a lot more information on telusalliance.com. You can find out about all of our products there. Usually there's a couple of short YouTube videos that go along with each of our products. So if you're reading it and say, there's hands-on demonstrations that you can watch as well. Broadcastaudiofanatics.com, that's where you can follow the van, and hopefully I'll be coming to a city near you.
Well, I'll give a plug, too, over to Kirk Harnack, because I know he's shooting video whenever Barry or Jeff are speaking at an NAB or an AES. I see him out there posting that video, and that's worth watching. I learned so much just from watching Barry, even a lot of it's going above my head.
And a lot of going on above his head as well. But yeah, I mean, people can read the manuals and they can hear from other engineers, but once you see somebody actually pushing the buttons and hearing the difference or seeing the difference on a piece of equipment that we sell, it sometimes makes all the difference in the world. Oh yeah, that's what I should have done to get to the next step or the next level.
Is it fair to say we're kind of in a golden age right now with the quality of the processing that everybody's putting out there?
I think so. And I think what you're going to see, Scott, in the next 18 to 24 months is people are always going to be concerned about how their FM and AM signals sound with these great boxes that we have, from the Omni 11, Omni 9, all the way down to the Volt and the 9SG as well. But it's going to be more geared towards software and stream processing. And that's why we have the Omnia SST as the software processor. That's why we have the ZipStream R2 sitting right below me in the van, is for streaming. Because like I mentioned, I've got friends that listen to terrestrial radio stations through their phones. Why? Oh, because when we go around the mountain, the signal screws up and it fades in and out. But on my cell phone, it's crystal clear. In their mind it is, but is it really? What kind of bit rate are you getting through your headphones?
Exactly, and I say that as somebody who listens to satellite radio, because there is no terrestrial all Bruce Springsteen channel yet.
Or all Beatles channel as well. Yep, we're working on that.
And boy, do I hear it.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's going. It's trying to perfect the online experience in addition to keeping up with the terrestrial experience of listening.
Do you take requests for where to visit next?
Sure. We're sort of confined to the Midwest and the Northeast, but you know, as it gets colder out, hey, Florida, Texas, Arizona.
Yeah.
I'd love to come for you. Colorado as well. I do like to ski, so maybe Colorado on the way out to sunny San Diego, California.
Don't let Dan Hyatt hijack the van.
You know what? I already saw him once. He tested out one of the new Volts, and he didn't break it. So I was so happy to get it back all in one piece and all the buttons and the meters functioning properly. So thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it.
It's the Top of the Tower podcast. I'm Scott Feibusch. Our final segment this week is dedicated to the next big convention that's coming down the pike in the area. And this is the AES convention, the 143rd Audio Engineering Society convention. That happens every 2 years at the Javits Center in New York City. This year it's happening the week of October 16th in New York. And this year it is actually combined in the same convention center with NAB New York. This has traditionally been mostly a TV show. NAB bought the show a few years ago, has been rebranding it as NAB New York. But the big thing for radio people, at least, has been the audio sessions that take place at AES. David Bialik is the chair of those sessions, as well as working with CBS in New York. And he joined us for a conversation about everything that hopefully will be drawing you to New York City in a couple of weeks. There's usually like one big sort of field trip session every year. And this year, it's going to be all the way up the top of the World Trade Center.
2 years ago, we did the Empire State Building. And this year, as you're well aware, marks the beginning of TV returning to One World Trade Center. And since that is a milestone in broadcast, I contacted John Lyons of the Durst Organization. I said, hey, John, we have to do something at One World Trade. And he said, what do you want to do? And I said, besides a tour, I want to have a full session up there talking about what you did, because he built a state-of-the-art facility up there, and it's beautiful. And this way, people can actually learn about what's going on up there, the new transmission and everything. And John's basically a person that's changed the landscape of broadcasting in New York, because he built One World Trade Center. He built
Four Times Square
twice,
yeah,
because he just rebuilt it. And before that, working at various radio stations, he was the chair of the master antenna for the Empire State Building. So, John, if anybody has to talk about FM or TV antennas, it's John.
And we can't emphasize enough on this one, advanced registration is mandatory.
Right. Unfortunately, no one will be allowed to book a plus one. Everyone's going to have to book an individual. There will be a limit of how many people can come in, because number one, the place, you don't want hundreds of people coming in where there's a broadcast facility. I think we're going to open up booking on the 9th. And people are going to have to be a registered attendee of the convention, whether you're using your an all-access badge or just an exhibits-only badge. But you have to be registered to the convention and then sign in. You'll get an email, and then when the registration opens up, you'll be able to try and get in. It's going to be a lottery. It's going to be tight. And I'm expecting it to sell out within 5 minutes, if not sooner.
Like getting a Hamilton ticket.
But not as expensive.
That is true. That is true. So that's the big field trip one. And, of course, there's always something.
No, there's more, another field trip.
Ooh, what's the other one?
It's going to be Audio Tonight, a Storyteller's Cabaret. And it's going to be at the Dolby Theater. 1350 Avenue of Americas, and people will be able to get a ticket for that at the convention. There is limited seating there too, but it's a little more than what we have at World Trade. So you have to, I'd say, if you're at the show, try on the first day, go over to the tours desk and get a ticket for this. It's free. And the doors will open at 7. The show will start at 7:30, and they always have an amazing performance. And this year they have William Dufresne. And since you have small kids, I'm betting you know one of his performances. He's the original voice of Bob the Builder.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And Bob Calipman will be there, and there's going to be a couple others. Barbara Rosenblatt from Orange Is the New Black. Robin Miles will be there. She's an amazing performer. And they do some audio performances that are really out of this world. And it's really neat to have the theater of the mind a little.
We've always been big on doing radio theater there. I remember a few years ago, the late Hyman Brown, one of his last performances, you guys
yes.
did a whole recording at one of the AES shows a few years back.
Yeah, that was quite an honor to do, and working with Hyman was a privilege.
So speaking of things that my kids would find fascinating if I were to take them down there for it.
Well, there's another
one Doctor
that
Who.
Your kids would be, yes, the Doctor
yeah.
Who. And that one is going to be on Saturday, the last day of the convention. And it's the Doctor Who, they just did a episode, recorded an episode that's in binaural audio. And so we're going to have Chris Pike there, who organized that broadcast, and with some of his crew, and we're going to have the whole audience is going to have headphones, and you know, we're going to talk about how it was done and give some excerpts and some. And I guarantee you, the show will be bigger on the inside. Now there is another one that you probably didn't even know. There's going to be Deconstructing Binaural Macbeth
Ooh.
on Wednesday during the day. And at the Here Now Festival, I don't know if you're familiar with Here Now, they run an audio festival every year. And they did a binaural performance of Macbeth, and we're going to deconstruct how it was done, and that one will be on headphones as well. Sennheiser is donating the headphones for this project, and it's quite neat.
Oh,
and other
neat.
Than that, we have some real engineering sessions.
Yeah, let's talk about a few of those. I noticed you're talking about audio for podcasts, which sounds like something I could probably use at this end.
Right, we're doing that. But let me go down the line.
Yeah.
We're doing designing and constructing a radio performance space. Lots of radio stations now are going back to having a performance space, something that was done in the beginning of radio. Now it's new again. And we have a great panel. Sam Kappas from CBS Chicago, Joshua Morris from Walter Storick, Steve Schultes from WNYC, Jeff Smith from iHeart. And Sam actually does something interesting in Chicago, because not only do they have a performance stage, they also have a performance kitchen
yes.
for radio.
Yes, I've been there. I've seen it.
It's neat how they do that. So they're going to talk about how they built it, how they maintain it, and all that. And all the things that you need to know to do a performance space. And then right after that, I have Steve Lampin talking about audio cable problem solving. Don't you hate it when you're building something and you just have the wrong wire for the wrong for the project?
Not if you have Steve involved, you don't.
Yeah, well, there's no one that knows wire better than Steve, and he has a great panel together for that. And on there is Tom Carroll, Ed Grogan, Chris Payne, Brad Pope, and Tom Sahara from Turner Sports. And I don't know if you've ever seen Tom speak before, but he's phenomenal.
Let's check that one out. Now we've got studio construction in the afternoon.
Studio construction and remodeling. Kirk Karnak, everyone knows Kirk, is putting together a panel of experts talking about construction, remodeling, renovating, you know, making good with what you have.
Yeah.
So that should be really cool. And then on Thursday morning, we have Steve Lampin doing a case study of using the right wire for the right job.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's going to be really cool. And he's got a really good presentation on that. That's why he's twice in the convention, because not only do you have to meet AES standards, you usually have to meet my standards. Then we have audio for advanced video broadcasting. My pal and assistant chair, Fred Willard, is putting together a panel talking about 4K and 8K video. Mm-hmm. With Robert Blight, Stefan Mulzer, Andreas Niedermeyer, Scott Norcross, Kazuo Ono, Skip Peasy, Peter Pors, and Jim Straczynski. That's going to be really cool. For anybody that's interested in video and audio, that is the place to
be. Looks like a good one.
And then we have our audio for podcasts. John Keane, formerly of NPR, is putting together a nice panel talking about the audio considerations for podcasts. Because right now the big talk is about loudness and so forth, and stitching in injected ads and audio metrics and so forth. So that'll be a nice thing, a nice session. And then the following day on Friday,
more Steve Lampin.
Yes, you know I. Steve kept throwing these great things at me, and I said, you know, I can't combine them into one session, and I said, that's why I spread them out. He's doing an advancements in microphone technology, and he told me flat out that they're going to be talking about some advancements that have never been done before, and it really is cool.
I'll tell you a quick Steve Lampin story. He was up here a couple of months ago, speaking at our SBE chapter up here in Rochester, and he basically gave us choice. Said, okay, I got this presentation or this presentation. Which one do you want me to do? And we said, okay, well, let's start with that one. Gets to the end of that one. We're at the end of the session. Said, I could do the other one, too, if you want. You want me to do that one, too?
Yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge.
He is. I love Steve.
And then we have production of podcast production. And Rob Byers of NPR has put together this great thing because, you know, it's a different audience than just sitting for radio and stuff. And you have to – there's different audio considerations when you're producing it. And it brings out this. And it's nice, and this is a good session. And then after that, Glenn Walden, another man of wealth of knowledge, mm-hmm. is doing metadata for radio and streaming, the digital dashboard. Something that's incredibly important nowadays, because now that you're in radio, you have to care about how it looks. So he's putting that session together. Then we have another neat thing that I don't think you knew about. The audio crew of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert is coming in to talk about how they produce their show.
Ooh.
And they've won tons of awards. They actually won the late night TV ratings a couple times. And so the crew is coming in to talk about how they do everything, and that's going to be really neat.
That sounds fascinating. I've had the chance to see the production there and just all the complications of working in the historic studio and the band roaming around, and there's a lot going on there.
And plus, on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to give a little plug to the AES Technical Committee for Broadcast and Online Delivery, which I happen to chair, is going to have two separate meetings during the lunchtime break. One is going to be on streaming loudness for audio streaming, and then there's going to be for the committee that's putting out the advanced guidelines for over-the-top television and video streaming. That one's chaired by Jim Straczynski, and the audio only committee is chaired by Bob Katz and myself. So, well, I'm
good stuff. I want to throw a plug in here too for the New York State Broadcasters Association. Any New York broadcasters who might be listening and don't know about it already, Thursday afternoon at 3, David Donovan is putting together a New York State Broadcasters Engineering meeting as well. That'll be going on at the Javits. So that's something else that that New York State broadcasters in particular may want to check out while they're there.
If anyone wants any more information, they can go to aesbroadcast.com.
And it is not too late to register for the convention if you're not registered already. It is not too late.
No, and I can honestly say that it pays to go to the convention as a paid ticket instead of just exhibits only, because number one, you learn something. Number two, if you have the receipt that you attended sessions, guess what? It counts for your re-education when you're going for your SBE certification.
Always a good thing to do. And David Bialik, thank you so much. We're looking forward to seeing you in New York in just a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Scott. There goes the last DJ who plays what he wants to play and says what he wants to say. Hey, hey, hey. And there goes your freedom of choice.
Our thanks to David Bialik. We are looking forward to being in New York for AES and the NAB New York show in a couple of weeks and bringing you some interviews and reports from the floor. So stay tuned to the podcast and to Northeast Radio Watch for more of that. A reminder again before we go, the Top of the Tower podcast is brought to you by Feibusch Media. Feibusch Media is here to make your station get out better, whether that means signal acquisition, whether it means helping you sell a signal, whether it means helping you navigate the next translator window that's coming up. We are here to serve you. Find us at FeibuschMedia.com. And of course, you could sponsor this podcast too. Get in touch with us, Lisa at FeibuschMedia.com. She'll be happy to get you on board as one of our charter sponsors as the Top of the Tower podcast continues to grow. Don't forget to tell a friend about it too. Repost us on social media and let us know what you think of it. It is the Top of the Tower. I'm Scott Feibusch. Thank you for joining us.